¿Quién podría tomar a casa, mujer?
Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare.
Section 19. Krishna said, sometime after this, the great ascetic, the exalted Chanda Kaushika, again came into the country of the Magadhas. Filled with joy at the advent of the Rishi, King Vriyadratha, accompanied by his ministers, priests, wives, and son, went out to receive him. O Bharata, worshipping the Rishi with water to wash his feet and face, and with the offerings of Argya, the king then offered his whole kingdom, along with his son, for the acceptance of the Rishi. The adorable Rishi accepted that worshipful offering by the king. Addressing the ruler of Magadha, O monarch, said with well-pleased heart, O king, I knew all this by my spiritual insight, but hear, O king of kings, that this son of thine will be in the future, as also what is his beauty, excellence, strength, and valor will be. Without doubt, this son of thine, growing in prosperity and endued with prowess, will attain all of these. Like other birds that can never imitate the speed of Vinata's son, Garuda, the other monarchs of the earth will not be able to equal in energy this thy son, who will be endued with great valor. All those that will stand in his way will certainly be destroyed. Like the force of the current that can never make the slightest impression upon the rocky breast of a mountain, weapons hurled at him, even by the celestials, will fail to produce the least pain in him. He will blaze forth above the heads of all that wear crowns on their brows. Like the sun that dims the luster of all luminous bodies, this son of thine will rob all monarchs of their splendor. Even kings that are powerful and own large armies, numberless vehicles and animals, upon approaching this son of thine, will all perish as insects upon fire. This child will seize the growing prosperity of all kings, like the ocean receiving the water swollen with the water of the rainy season. Like the huge earth that bears all kinds of produce, supporting things that are both good and evil, this child endued with great strength will support all the four orders of men. All the kings of the earth will live in obedience to the commands of this child, just as every creature endued with body live in dependence upon Vayu, that is as dear as the self unto beings. This prince of Magadha, the mightiest of all men in the world, will behold with his physical eyes this god of gods called Rudra or Hara, the slayer of Tripura, or the slayer of all foes, saying this, the Rishi, thinking of his own business, dismissed King Vriyadratha. The lord of the Magadhas then, re-entering his capital and calling together his friends and relations, installed Jarasandha on the throne. King Vriyadratha then came to feel a great distaste for worldly pleasures. After the installation of Jarasandha, King Vriyadratha, followed by his two wives, became an inmate of an ascetic asylum in the woods. And, O king, after his father and mothers had retired into the woods, Jarasandha, by his valor, brought numerous kings under his sway. So the importance of the blessing of the sages, of the Vaishnavas, of the Brahmins, that should not be underestimated, right? Because sometimes we think that, oh, it's just this person or that person. But the point is as we see from the philosophy, it's what we're dealing with is Krishna. Krishna is performing his pastimes. And Krishna does his, performs his pastimes through his energies. So then, if we think that it is the form that is actually doing something, then that's called Maya. Right? But it's actually Krishna's potency in that form that is actually performing the pastime. Right? In the spiritual world, the form and that energy are non-different. Right? So there is no illusion there. But here there is. So then, if someone is performing the duties of a Brahmin, then that is the medium for Krishna to, that his potency of that, of Brahminical culture, of the Brahminical nature, of that Brahminical, power and blessings, then it will flow through there. Is that a frog? Oh, okay. Although, is that the bamboo ones? Yeah, they're not poisonous. They're just very big. That's all. You actually get bigger than this. They won't bother you. So this should not be underestimated. Just as we see something and we think that is the form, we see gold, we think that's actual wealth, or we see pieces of paper with faces on them, we see that's wealth. No, the potency of wealth is empowered in it. Does that make sense? So that's how everything is functioning. So therefore, if the thing has the proper, basically the proper form, is performing those duties, then that potency will be there to some degree or another. So we can't say, oh, I know this person or this or that. That's not how it works. Right? Does that make sense? It's just the way it is. Right? It's a matter of how much potency will be coming through there. So if someone is performing the duties, it works. And we also must remember that this flowing of this potency is a constant factor, right? It does not stop because of modern Protestant Christian beliefs. That once somebody does something wrong, that eternally they're damned. That is not Vedic. It's not an eternal principle. It's a principle made up or created. That's an important principle created for people with very, very minimal faith. That if there's any chance that I could be sinful and in the future be redeemed, I would be sinful. You understand? The need for it? So for this kind of character, you have to have these kind of draconian ideas. That once you've done something wrong, that's it. You're finished forever. Right? And of course, then somehow or another, the person is supposed to repent, be repentful forever. But, it'll do no good, I guess. Or maybe it will do good. But the other thing what they don't remember is, okay, if I'm sinful now and that's it, then I could go and be really sinful and harass everybody. Why not? So it's not a really well thought out philosophy. Does that make sense? So this idea, the point is if someone basically does well all the time, if someone makes a mistake, then if they understand that mistake, move on, it has moved on. And if you don't move on, you're the one with the problem. You're the one with the sin, not the other person. Right? Does that make sense? So therefore, then, we see is that this process of someone following the Brahminical lifestyle, the king following his duties, then the king's honor towards the Brahmins then blessings in that towards the Kshatriyas here. It works because it's Krishna's potency. It's Krishna's pastime. Right? And it's not up to us, due to some modern or politically correct concepts, to not understand this.
to not believe this. Does that make sense? Otherwise, for the faithless, there is no culture. There is no life. There is no relationships. It's that simple. The person who has no trust, has no faith, they have no life. It's that simple. They can jump up and down, say they have all the life they are, but the problem is because they don't know what it is, they have no authority to say they have it. Right? A person who hasn't tasted a mango, how are they going to describe to you the taste of the mango? Right? Unless they've heard from authority. And if you have no faith, no trust, where have you heard from authority? Does this make sense? You have to be able to distinguish the kinds of association you're in. You have to be able to distinguish. Otherwise, you can't allow your life, your culture, to be ruined because other people want to ruin it for you because they don't have it. Does that make sense? A person that doesn't believe in relationships wants to make sure that no one else has them. Does that make sense? That becomes their life. That's why they say they have one. Because that's their life, to see that no one else has one. Right? So here, this Brahman, whatever his position, is giving blessings, and it works. Right? It works. Because it is the medium. Right? Does that make sense? It is the medium. So that's the whole point, is that if we understand our philosophy, then we know it's a matter of performing one's duties. One becomes the medium for those energies that go along with that form. Does that make sense? So that's what's happened. You follow the proper, duties of cooking, and what comes out is very nice. You don't follow it, it doesn't come out nice. Right? Does that make sense? So, in other words, everything is a pastime of the Lord. So it's just a matter of you want to acknowledge that, or you want to go on in your atheistic concept that no, the form is what's doing everything. So if we're not our bodies, someone else is not their bodies also. And if, even though we're not this body, life goes on, everything happens. Does that make sense? Very, very important part of the culture. Like that. Otherwise, for the faithless, there's no hope. Absolutely no hope. Like that. You just have to look at their faces. And also we see here, is this shows the position of a Kshatriya, is that they're living in all opulence and all that, but that is because it is necessary for the duties. Does that make sense? How means a king, how are you the king? For those who are pious, then it's because you're in the position. But for many, it's simply because of fear. Right? So if you don't have more than everybody else, then those who are lesser, means lesser in character, are not going to respect you. Does that make sense? If the king just walked around dressed like everybody else, then they'd go, hey, I got a better dhoti than that. Or he just looks like one of us. So then why I should listen to him? But he walks around wearing stuff that no one else can wear. Right? Walking around with armies and all this. So therefore, then you go, okay, this guy has to be respected. You understand? Because you see, as soon as the kings turn over the kingdom to the sun, they all walk out and go to the forest. Every last one of them. You ever hear of, except for Dhritarashtra. You ever hear of anybody not going? And even Dhritarashtra, when he understood things properly from his brother, he also left. You know, so you have to give him a little. He was blind, a little hard to go, but whatever. Does that make sense? That's kings. Kings is if they're in the position, they need the facilities of that position. They're not in the position, they don't need any facilities. Right? They were brahmacharis before, they had nothing. Then after their son's installed, then again, they leave with nothing. They don't take anything from the palace. Right? But they just go to the forest.
Well, Prabhupada explains that now in Daivi Varnashram is, you know, not now, is by guna and karma.
Yes.
But then when we speak about kshatriyas, there's like a very strong emphasis in gotra, in lineage.
You know? But that's another, that doesn't matter. Because the point is if the parents are kshatriyas and they, in an appropriate way, conceive a child, you know, not at a sinful time and not in an appropriate way, then that child is most likely going to have the nature of a kshatriya.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to, just like Rishabdev, then his sons, out of 100 sons, then I think it was 88, was it? Yeah, 88? No, not 80, it can't be 88. 80 of them, yeah. 80 of them were Brahmins. 11 of them were Paramahamsas, and only 9 were Kshatriyas. So that means that the consciousness is so elevated, and that, you know, that focus on the higher principles, that they're actually even giving birth to those of even higher gotra, I mean higher varna than themselves.
But what about, you know, our position when there is, we have to start from scratch.
But the point is it's consciousness. It's consciousness. You make Brahmins will make kings. Kings don't happen on their own. They're created by Brahmins. You understand? The potential is there, but they become kings because of Brahmins. You understand? Kshatriyas are created from Brahmins. They're not separate. That's why they can't function without them.
So
that's why Prabhupada says, you create a class of Brahmins, then you can establish Varnashram. Without Brahmins, there's no question, you don't have any chance of creating Varnashram. It doesn't start with the Vaishyas, it doesn't start with carrots and everybody getting their fingers dirty growing carrots. In fact, it's considered not proper for Brahmins and Kshatriyas to be growing carrots. It's Vaishya's and Shudra's business to plow the field and to grow things. That's their job. Brahman's supposed to be studying. Why he should be growing carrots? Kshatriya should be administrating. Why he should be growing carrots? Right? If there's dacoits, what's going to happen to your carrots? Right? If there's no knowledge, what are you going to do with your carrots once you've grown them? You know what I'm saying? So without Brahmins and Kshatriyas, then the economics of the Vaishyas is basically just sense gratification. Does that make sense? So the thing to do is create a class of Brahmins. So if anybody wants to talk Varnashram, that should be the first discussion. How are we creating Brahmins? How are we encouraging Brahminical culture? Right? Not how we're going to grow carrots. That's part of it. But if that's all you're doing, then know it that that assembly who's discussing Varnashram are Vaishyas, at best. And that's it. And that's all the far they'll do. They can make a farm, but that's it. But they will not create the social structure in which that farm will prosper. It's just science. It's just very serious. Like that. Prabhupada just talks about ISKCON is to create a class of Brahmins. He doesn't say it's to create Varnashram. He says create a class of Brahmins. The Brahmins will create Kshatriyas. Kshatriyas will create the environment which the Vaishyas and Shudras, who are already doing what they do, will now do it, you know, according to Varnashram. Vaishyas and Shudras are going to do what they do anyway, whether there's Varnashram or not. Right? So only when Kshatriyas create an environment that they're protected, then it will come up nicely. Right? Like I said, when the kings were doing properly, means with Yudhishthira's reign, then all the people naturally followed their duties. They didn't do anything wrong. Just like the husband, he does everything very properly, the wife automatically performs her duties. It's just the way it works. When the leadership does what it should do, those who are supposed to follow automatically do it out of natural reciprocation. It's not management. You don't have to manage Varnashram. Kshatriyas will do that very nicely. That's what they know how to do. But you have to create a Kshatriya. And that can only happen if you create a Brahmin. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then let's say practically all the Brahmins, once they train somebody, how they can establish them as, let's say, kings.
They're already kings. There's already this world is already going on. There are already administrators. Right? We're not independently doing something. We don't have to take anything independent. We take what's already there. It's just like you want to do book distribution. Do we have to create the people to buy the books? No. We just have to make the books available and go out and give them out to the people that are already there. So there's already people with the potential for Kshatriya nature. It's already there. Vaishya, it's already there. All we have to do is preach to them.
Like you were mentioning, there's a certain opulence that is needed.
They already have it. Right? The American president has his own private plane. That's not some money. Right? You have your private plane? No. And his is bigger than that. Everyone else has little dinky planes, except what, John Travolta, right? Right? But everybody else has, these little private jets. He has a full-on airplane, Because when he flies around, a lot of people go with him. It's full of computers and all that. It's a big thing. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's already there. It's just is not organized properly. Varnashram's already going on in the world. It's just not scientific. There already are teachers and doctors and all these different people. They're already there. They already exist. Right? The business people exist. The administrators exist. The bureaucrats exist. The shudras exist. But the lines between them, the clearness of their duties is not there. Therefore, that's where the problem lies. They don't have the right attitude. Those who are successful have a better attitude. Those who are not successful don't have a proper attitude. But it has to be organized. You know what I'm saying? So if we can set example and do some things, then that's good. Because otherwise, practical people want to see it. Like that. So then it's a matter of that, and then it works. But that vision has to be there. I don't hear anybody talking like that. Varnashram is, okay, we get to the land, we plow it, we plant something, we have a few cows, haribo, varnashram, done, finished. But what about the administration? What about the knowledge? What about the schools and training for the people who are going to grow those potatoes? Right? Vaishyas go to Gurukul. Right? They're talking about Varnashram. Where are the Gurukuls? Oh, it's not politically correct. It's not politically correct nowadays marriage, so why don't they go for that one? Right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the whole idea is unless one develops the value system, there is no Varnashram. Varnashram is the external manifestation of a class of people who value that kind of lifestyle. It's not an external lifestyle that on its own functions. You don't have that lifestyle, you don't have that value, you don't have Varnashram. It's that simple. Otherwise, why hasn't it been established up to today? Because the value's not there. It's simply a nice economic thing, it's nice this and that, oh, go organic, this and that. But think of the people who... organic is nice. Okay? But why is it nice? Because in the 60s and 70s, when they had hair down to their knees and wore, you know, flowery outfits, like that, it was nice. That's why it's nice. But those same people disliked authority, and they still dislike it today. So we're not looking at Varnashram because of people valuing Varnashram. We're looking at it because a few of the points of it, like the farming and all that, fit into their hippie mentality. That's why it's there. It's not there because this is God's system and I should follow it. Otherwise, why don't they follow the rest of it? You know? People jump up and down that you shouldn't take a soft drink or eat this and that. Why? Because it's bad for your health. Not that it's not food that we offer to the deity. Anybody says that? Oh, you can't offer, you know, 7-Up to the deity. That's why we shouldn't drink it. No, it's got this chemical and that chemical and, you know, this much sugar and that much sugar and it'll give you cancer after this much time. And, you know, when, you know, how you say, you know, lab rats were soaked in, you know, 7-Up for, you know, 73 days. Then, you know, they got, you know, how you say, you know, their nose went funny. And so, therefore, nobody should drink it. And, that's why. What has it got to do with Varnashram? What has it got to do with Krishna? Zip, zero, nothing. It's simply a bunch of hippies jumping up and down, health freaks. That's all. What has it got to do with Krishna consciousness? Nothing. What has it got to do with Varnashram? Nothing. Varnashram is a mentality, and that mentality manifests as that form. But they just want to take the form only, which is okay. And then say, that's Varnashram. That's okay if you don't know. But what makes a Kshatriya a Kshatriya? That all the Varnashramites can't say. It's one word. It's protection. Right? And two words make a Brahmin. Study, teaching. One word makes a Vaishya. No, two words. Economics and charity. And one word makes a Shudra. Service. Right? That's it. That's Varnashram. You understand that, then you have a chance. You don't understand that, you'll never establish Varnashram in a million years. It's that simple. It's a science. It's not something you just play around with sentimental. Well, I don't know. Let's see. Maybe what can be actually applied nowadays in the modern world? It's the same world that God created. You know? And somehow we're sitting and go, well, you know, what would work and what's... No. The thing works as it is. But you have to know what are the mechanics of it. That always works. The form of it, that's not so important. Okay, the king doesn't have to wear a crown and walk around with a sword. You know, that's not what's important. The important is that what is protection. So then he has to know the shastras, know the standards, how to protect. Then you have a kshatriya. Yeah? And everything else is that his various, you know, tools and skills that he uses, that it's all protection. It doesn't go back to protection, it's not a kshatriya. It's not. It's very, very straightforward. So if that's understood, then we should be working out. If you want to create Varnashram, then knowing this, the first thing we should be doing is creating Brahmins. Right? You know, Brahmins who, Brahminical life is their lifestyle. Right? Not selling hats. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like that. So this is the this is it's just like this. Someone did, I think it was yesterday, day before yesterday, did a whole marriage arrangement and marriage that yagya for a marriage. And someone else is that their child had a problem with the eyes, you know, serious problem with the eyes. Astrologer told them they should do some in a specific worship for the sun. Like that. So this one Brahmin did both these ceremonies. He got 1,000 rupees dakshin for each. Right? 20 years ago, the Hindus, for a marriage that's not as elaborate as ours, you know, just a couple of guys sitting there mumbling away and all that, and a little dinky fire, they'd give 10,000 rupees. That's how Brahmins live. Because how often do you do a wedding, you know? There's only a certain season. Right? How often do you have a wedding? Someone have a wedding, right? I mean, if your name is not Elizabeth Taylor, how often do you have a wedding? Right? Once. Very special. And that's worth 1,000 rupees. Someone plans it, gets all the stuff, sets it up, does everything. 1,000 rupees. Right? You're worried about your kid's eyesight, and it's only worth 1,000 rupees to you. Because it's the ritual that does it, not the blessing of the Brahmin, right? Just like Jarasandha. It had nothing to do with the Brahmin. It was just that they ate a mango. Right? This is why there's not Varnashram. Because even if you create a class of Brahmins, there's no way those Brahmins can live. Because everyone wants to treat them like Shudras. Oh, we're devotees, so we don't do that. Yeah, and you go out and pay how much for your, you know, Louis Vuitton bag? You know what I'm saying? Later you go out and spend $2,500-$3,000 on silk sari. Right? So that's my point. If they're wearing 250, 300 rupee in cotton saris and they got 5 of them, you know, because they're devotees and we don't spend money like that, great. Then you give 1,000 rupees. You know, but if the ladies are sitting there in silk saris, I'm sorry. You better start pulling out 10, 15,000 rupees. Otherwise, you don't understand what you're getting from this. You know. So you give that, that's how much blessing. You may say, oh, but he's a devotee, but you forget. What about Krishna? Where is that Brahminical potency coming from? It's Krishna. So you're supposed to worship Krishna in the form of a Brahmin there. So that, therefore, it's Maya, because you think the body is the Brahmin. No, that's the form by which Krishna's Brahminical potency comes down. And you're supposed to respect Krishna in that form. But of course, because we don't respect authority because we're a bunch of hippies, therefore, then, you know, even Krishna as an authority is a problem. You know, it's nice and sweet, he's doing his rasa dance, great, but as authority, no. As rasa, yes. As tattva, no. These are the implications of all these. These are the implications. Like that, how is the Brahmin supposed to live? We're supposed to say, yeah, be Brahminical and all that. And then the temple president, Mr. Vaishya, sitting there in his house with his cars, all being taken from the temple, all being supported by Brahmacharis and Brahmacharinis making the money. Very Vaishya-y, you know, really religious Vaishya. And then he tells all the Brahmins they got to do everything for nothing, because all your devotees and it's for the temple, Prabhu, right? So then why you living how you're living, right? I saw an advertisement, temple president, you know, position available, you know, life insurance, dental insurance, you know, house, car. And then only then someone will come forward, okay, I'll do it. Why? It's a job, it's not preaching. And then those people are going to tell the Brahmins, oh, you're so materialistic, you know, you're dakshins and all that. Why don't you do it for free? Yeah, why don't you just go to hell? You know what I'm saying? This is why there's no Varnashram. Not because you haven't set up a farm yet. Right? There's people out there to make farms. But who's going to protect them? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like that. So, this is the point. There is no Brahminical. Brahminical culture is not appreciated. It's not known what it is, it's not appreciated. Therefore, how is anybody supposed to live like that? Right? And then if they're not living like that, how are you going to create the class of man that's going to make the rest of it happen? It can't. I have not, at all the Varnashram groups that I've been to, I've never heard a discussion like this. How are we going to create Brahmins? How are we going to create the whole faith in it? How are we going to create the appreciation in it? How are we going to create that people can actually even survive like that? You know how many teachers we lose from here because there's no facility? And they got to go out and they got to go sell hats? People that could be writing books for the kids. We had one person once, very expert at writing children's books. How many children's books do we have, right? I listen to parents all the time having to tell me, oh, the kids have to read that, they have to learn to read, so even they read any old nonsense, at least they're reading, of course, what they pick up from that, how it changes their culture, that the parents couldn't care less. And here we have a guy that can write books, he wants to write books, he's good at writing books, but he can't be maintained because, you know, who's going to buy the books? You know, who's going to do the things? Who's going to, you know, take care of him while he writes the books? Nobody. So, and Brahmins aren't known as being great collectors, right? Unless their field of knowledge is economics. Then they do well. But there's very few of those as Brahmins. Right? And so therefore, they go out and they collect and maintain the family and they don't write any books. I think the person has written one book. And I'm talking about, I had the opportunity, he was here, and that was 20 years ago. So we should be looking at least at 20 books by now. And that's one guy. And there's so many more out there. We could have hundreds and hundreds of children's books. But instead, they got to read Harry Potter. You know, or Tolkien. You know, that's as good as it gets. Right? Why? Because we value Brahminical culture so much. That's why. You know what I'm saying? And then the talks simply about growing cabbages. Like that. Great. Cabbages are already being grown right now. You know? The point is go out, preach to that cabbage grower, you know? You know what I'm saying? That's the thing. They're already there. We don't have to become them. We have to become Brahmins who can preach to them, cultivate them, help them in their life so that they value it, so that then they want to support Brahminical culture. Right? You give them something solid, they want to reciprocate. Right? But who wants to reciprocate, you know, if they don't see anything? You know? And without training, how will anybody even know what to look for? You know? That's why a Brahmin, even though he lives by charity, he still has to give in charity. Right? Dana pratigraha. So the dana is there. But that's the thing. Devotees can only take, they can't give. Right? You see what's his name? Madhva's the mat. You know, here's Krishna mat's here, and you go out this one. He's always very favorable to us. Pejor mat. When he goes to the temples, goes visits the temples, he has a brahmachari with him with a box, and it's full of money. And as he goes around, then all the different services and that, they give out money to all the Brahmins. You could say, he's a sannyasi, why should he be doing this? But his point is you have to give charity to Brahmins. You know what I'm saying? Just the way it works. Is that okay?
Yes, sir. Srila Prabhupada repeatedly and consistently in books, conversations, basically every occasion, he spoke about giving 50%, especially to people who are engaged in cultivation of spiritual knowledge and preaching. Now, what would be the steps to start implementing that? Because it's something that is neither much discussed nor applied.
because it generally it's not much discussed because no one wants to discuss it because it's never applied correctly. Because 50% means 50% from what you would call profit. Right? In other words, you're starting a business, you're reinvesting all the money back into the business. That's not called profit. There's nothing there to take given charity from. It's however little bit you're taking off of that, that's your profit. You could say, okay, we made, you know, we invested this much, we got back a big profit, but that is all being re-put back into the business, so it's not profit. So this is where the problem comes. Some temples, they say, 50% means of gross. And that's probably one of the grossest misunderstandings of economics in the three worlds. And they claim to be administrators. I don't buy it. That's called thieves. Right? You know, even if they make 20%, so if you take 50% of the gross, that means you've taken all 20% of the profit plus 30% of their investment. So that means it's just now they have only half the amount to invest as before. And so it's just a matter of a few transactions, they're going to have zero money. You know what I'm saying? But that's a very common thing, that they say gross. Then, or they'll say, okay, 50% just was the profit, but the person is an individual who has independence and he can decide what he's going to do with that money. Does he want to increase his business? So that's not considered. All it is simply you have people that don't know how to get money and they're simply trying to find any way they can to tax and get however much they can. So Bhagavatam talks about those kind of leaders. And Bhagavatam doesn't talk about them in a good light. So therefore, it's a matter of how much is actually there. Duties in that are easier to deal with than tax. Because duties, it's set amounts, and depending upon what's there, you take it, it's on that transaction. The person has this much goods, you deal with a certain percentage of that, and that's it. But this 50% is up to the individual to give, not for the temple to take. Right? Because there's a lot of things there. Prabhupada talks about giving in charity of Brahmins. Okay. But the temple president, is he a Brahmin? So why is he saying? Personally, I've met very few Brahmin temple presidents. Even less Kshatriya ones. Tons of Aishavas, which is fine, right? It's not a problem. But what I'm saying is, they're pushing it, but he's living off of it. That's not right. You know what I'm saying? Point is you do a project, you should be doing something in the temple that they like. You should be encouraging. They should feel that they're part of a community instead of just money machine. Then they give money. Right? Like in Bombay, Chopati, they don't have donors, they have devotees. Juhu has donors. And you just go to one and the other, it's like night and day. The one is alive, and the one is functioning. So therefore, most communities, they're just seen as how to collect from, rather than this is our community of devotees, and therefore they should support Brahminical culture. So part of that's the temple. Temple is doing things, people give towards it. So this idea is that all money has to come to the temple. In this city, it's our city. Since when is it your city? Right. So then, now, everything has to come to us. Nothing can go anywhere else. Where does that come from? That comes from people who don't know how to make money. or people who don't know what they're doing with in culture. Maybe they can make money, but they have no culture. Point is they should be taking care of Brahmins, they should be taking care of cows, they should be taking care of the children, they should be taking care of women, and they should be taking care of old people, and they should be doing things for the temple. That's the scope. Otherwise, or they give it to the temple, and temple takes care of all that, but I don't see the temple doing that either.
You mentioned about the system for people who are self-employed or businessmen, and what's the standard or mechanics for those who are employed? Is that like a fixed salary?
Means, well, there's one or two ways you can do it. One is that you, what you get, and then you make your lifestyle according to that. So the idea is you should be giving, the basic thing is where you can start from is this. Everybody should be keeping something for emergency. Everybody should be giving something in charity. You start there, it starts the thing working. Just get that in place. Then we can talk about 50% later. But the point is 50, there should be opulence. So opulence is only going to happen when there's protection, when there's proper Krishna consciousness, when there's performance of duties. Artha comes from Dharma. Unless people follow Dharma, how there's going to be Artha? So it's the same thing. You want Varnashram, establish Brahmins. You want you know, the economics to work, you have to establish Dharma, which means establishing Varnashram.
So yeah. One thing is that many devotees, somehow they live in a, economically speaking and socially, they live in a completely secular context. And many of them, whatever reason, they struggle economically. Now, protection, to some extent, it's a political thing. And even, say, an ISKCON, Kshatriya ISKCON administrator doesn't have, at this moment, the influence on the social scene.
But they have influence on the individuals. It's like this. You can work very, very hard for someone that you have some faith and affection for. But if you don't, it's very hard to work. So if you're inspired, someone will do their best. If you're not inspired, you won't. So therefore, whatever is the best they can do in whatever the situation they're in, is the temple helping with that? Is it helping them be secure? Is it helping them just emotionally, not necessarily politically, economically? Like that, then they'll do their best. Like, why should the guy be out there making money? Right? He should be taking care of his family, should be doing it. Is he inspired to do this? So many opportunities are there. Is he taking them? Well, if he is, great. If he's not, why not? Because maybe he lacks direction, lacks encouragement. So that influence you can have. You know, there's so many avenues of influence. So as people, that's where you have the most influence. You influence that, you influence the whole thing. Because the point is also you have the element of, if you actually check, there's probably a greater percentage of people who are poor that give to charity than who are rich. The rich ones may give more money. But from what I've understood is the poor are more willing to give money than the rich. Because the poor knows what the value of it. They know how important it is. So they give small amounts. $5 here, you know, $3 a month there. All those charities. You think, you know, the millionaires are buying into those charities? You know, $3 a month will, you know, maintain, you know. You know, those are not aimed at the millionaires. Those are aimed at the common person who he thinks, yeah, I could give $3 a month or £3 a month. You know what I'm saying? So the point is that kind of mentality, if that's cultivated, then if the you know, economics can increase, then that increases.
What would you comment on the system that many Christian organizations have of tithing?
Have they?
Tithing?
Oh, I mean, is that so much per month?
Whatever.
Whatever works, but the point is I would say is it's a great idea, but the people who want to establish it, until they're actually understanding their position and are giving that protection, I don't think they should be making these rules. Because the rule applies to them also. You know what I'm saying? In other words, when they're performing their duties, they can expect everybody should give 10%. If they are doing, great. If the community is very happy with them, great. Then it works. You know, they've set it at 10% because they find it works. Right? Because there's only that much prosperity, so 10% works. So that's nice if they can do it. But it should be that just because they're administrators, then they think they have the right to say that. They should be acting as them. They should be guiding. They should be protecting. They should be supporting the whole Brahminical culture. It shouldn't be simply an economic thing. Because the Vedic, it's not an economic thing. It's a religious thing. So you're expecting them to do a religious duty. Are you doing your religious duty? You do your religious duty, they'll want to reciprocate with theirs. You're not, then they won't. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, everybody's quick to jump on the bandwagon about, you know, how much everybody should be giving. But I don't see any bandwagons for, you know, that they should be performing their religious duties. You know what I'm saying? They can't even figure out if they're Brahmins or Kshatriyas. And then they're going to tell us we've got to give 10% because you're a householder. So how do they know? If they can't tell what's a Brahmin or Kshatriya, how can they identify if you're a Vaishya or a Shudra? Shudras aren't taxed. Brahmins aren't taxed. Brahmins are not taxed. The D department pays tax.
The tax is a charity. How do you draw the line?
That you have to see. The point is, so deities give charity to the temple.
The
Mahaprasad, huh?
You mean here or in general?
I'm talking about here.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? The Mahaprasad belongs to the temple. Any of the businesses that the deities have for collecting money that is taken over, nationalized by the temple. The books in the temple go to the book stalls in the temple. Everything going on in the temple goes to the temple. But the pujaris have to pay for the maintenance of the temple. They have to paint it. They have to take care of it. That's not administration. That's not administration. That's not protection of Brahminical culture. So I'm just saying, that's common. It's a common mentality. When the temple is taking care of everything, that's another thing. But here it's an independent department.
So how do you change this? I mean, not just...
It means you have to create leadership. Oh, well, whatever. You got to end now. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samavita Bhaktivrinda ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana Devi.